This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I just told you about how incredible Tom Haberstroh is, which you know if you listen to the show or you follow the NBA. And he's got a lot of things going on, including now a part of Meadowlark Media, which I'm really interested in. This is the new Dan Le Batard enterprise. Tom is still on Twitter at Tom Haberstroh. He still has a podcast called The Haber Show, and he joins me now on this particular program. Tom, what is up? How are you?
I am recovered. I just did a 24-hour marathon show with Dan Le Batard and Stu Gatz in Miami. I ate the hottest pepper in the world for charity called the Carolina Reaper. We raised $120,000 for ALS research, and I have fully recovered. It took me a couple days, not just from the fatigue of a 24-hour show, and also imbibing this flamethrower of a fruit. I learned that peppers are fruit, not vegetables, and I am still here, able to talk about it, and I'm very thankful.
Give me so the hottest pepper on earth. Like, is there something you can compare? Is it like drinking a certain amount of Tabasco sauce, or how would you give us an understanding of what that experience was like?
So you've had a jalapeno, right?
I have.
Yeah. So that's 8,000 Scoville units in terms of heat. That is the measurement. That is the measurement by which you.
Did you say Scoville?
It's 8,000 Scoville. Okay, a jalapeno. That sounds pretty hot, doesn't it? Like 8,000?
I mean, it's a Scoville. I'm already impressed.
Yeah, yeah. And 8,000 is a jalapeno. This Carolina Reaper that I took down was 2.2 million.
Oh, my God.
Scoville,
dude.
Units. So that is about 300,000 or 300 times hotter than a jalapeno, somewhere in there. And it was... I couldn't breathe for a hot second. Like I couldn't even talk. I couldn't get words out. If you watch Game of Thrones, it felt like a wrecking ball of wildfire just hit my stomach lining. It was a beast, but all in a good cause. Even though it was, you know, the hottest pepper in the world, it felt like, you know, a temporary pain that for people with ALS, it is not a temporary thing. So I'm very happy that we raised that much money. And I was able to survive to tell you about it.
Tom Haberstroh here on the show. So I don't know a lot about Meadowlark Media, even other than it is the brainchild of John Skipper and of Dan Le Batard, both of whom are massively talented. What is your role? What is the enterprise? What should people know about sort of this chapter in your career?
Yeah, so I went down to Miami with you to cover the Miami Heat in 2011. What I didn't know was that, you know, Dan Le Batard was going to employ me in a decade later because he has created so much goodwill and audience at ESPN and in Miami that he decided to break off from ESPN and start his own thing. And that is going to be a podcast network. It is also going to be getting into documentaries and scripted series and a multi-episode podcast series scripted. And so right now, as my contributions to the show are, is being an NBA analyst contributing to the Le Batard Show program and podcasts. But, you know, one of the amazing things about this new company, Meadowlark Media, which is headed up by John Skipper, the former president and CEO of ESPN, is that they want to take journalists like me who are really good with reporting on the NBA or have contacts or research and blossom into someone who could produce a documentary or do some narrative podcasts and get into some like investigative stuff. And that's kind of like what I really attracted to me to the job is the growth that we're able to do. So like if you think of Meadowlark as like Pixar for Hollywood, where if you have a great story idea, you bring it to them and it's going to turn into something magic. Like that's what they want to do for sports is if you have a great idea for a show or a podcast or a project, take it to Meadowlark. And the idea is that they will produce it into great content, whether it's at Amazon or Apple or Netflix. They are going to be a content creator, content factory for all those large distributors. So I'm looking at this situation saying, man, I'm surrounding myself with a lot of talent, a lot of smart people, and Lebatard's audience is massive and really, really loyal and really can do some great things. So we raised $120,000 in like 2 hours, just doing like a random like stunt of like, I'm going to eat a pepper if we raise $44,000 in honor of Lou Gehrig, who was number four for the Yankees, and they tripled it. So it's a really special place to be, and I can't wait to show you guys, the audience, what we're working on, because it's going to be some pretty groundbreaking stuff.
Tom Haverstraw here on the show. All right, let's talk. That's awesome, dude. And congratulations. You deserve it. That is wonderful news for you and for Dan. Let's talk some hoops. What is going on with the Milwaukee Bucks, and are you ready to write them off like everyone else has? Is that series over?
I don't think the series is over. I really question what the heck happened to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like when Blake Griffin is stopping you and you're not able to get to the basket, it took a quarter and a half for Giannis Antetokounmpo to get to the rim against the Brooklyn Nets defense in game two. It should not take 18 minutes of action for Giannis, that guy, you know, the guy who's built like Shaq in the open court and can get to the rim relentlessly in the regular season. When he's defended by Blake Griffin, it was like all stops. And so he was settling for jumpers, fadeaways, three-pointers. He's shooting 3 of 24 from downtown in this postseason and just over 50% from the free throw line in this postseason. Like, this is a problem. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo might be afraid to get to the free throw line and therefore isn't attacking the rim as much as you might think. And so he's playing soft. He is. When you look at the Milwaukee Bucks and the fact that they went 4 for 9 from the free throw line in game two, and the fact that they've taken all, you know, a bunch of threes, but they haven't been able to pressure the rim. This is a product of them not asserting their size against a small lineup where Blake Griffin is the center. I am very surprised that a lineup like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brooke Lopez have basically done nothing at the basket in this series. They need to improve massively here in game three to really establish themselves in this series. And I am stunned. We've talked about it a lot on this show, Bill. The Brooklyn Nets defense has really shown out. With Blake Griffin on the floor in this series, they've had the equivalent of the number one defense in the NBA this regular season. So they've done a great job at limiting three-pointers and limiting basket attacks from Giannis. And that's got to change big time here in game three. I'm not going to count them out entirely, but they have to do some massive, massive soul searching in ahead of game three because they are really in an identity crisis right now.
All right, Tom, try to demystify the Nets for me, which has been my goal with that team the entire season in this way, in this regard. How many teams that are left in the postseason do you think would challenge, really challenge, maybe beat the Nets in a 7-game series if it got to that point?
Well, I think Philly and Utah. Those are the two teams that I think can really challenge the Brooklyn Nets. Milwaukee, they have to show me more. They have to make more from downtown. Right now, if you look at the three-point arsenal, Milwaukee is a great three-point shooting team, but they've lost the three-point point column 108-42. Like, Milwaukee has not been able to do what they do best in this series against Brooklyn. And for Philly, like, if they lose who they are in this series like Milwaukee does, maybe they lose it. But I just look at Joel Embiid and say, yeah, he's going to be able to just destroy them in the paint. But we're seeing from Giannis that it's not as simple as that. And so I think the 76ers, with their shooting of Seth Curry and Danny Green around Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, they can really do damage against that front line. The best offensive rating, the best offense so far in this postseason has been the 76ers with Joel Embiid on the floor. It's not Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. It's with Joel Embiid on the floor. So I think they have the offensive firepower to contend with the Brooklyn Nets. And secondly, I think Utah, just both ends of the floor are outrageous. I mean, they're so good. It's the first time in NBA history that a team has made at least 17 three-pointers in each of the five games of their opening postseason. And I just don't know, you know, whether they're going to have a flame out. Like, they are so good from downtown and they're so big. I think they can really pose problems for the Brooklyn Nets, and same goes for Philly.
Tom Haberstroh here on the show. Paul George's fourth quarter notwithstanding, or at least his statistical fourth quarter, what do you make of his performances in the playoffs over the course of his career, and obviously somewhat with a focus on his performances so far in this postseason?
Yeah, I don't know if it's mental or if it's just physical fatigue, but there's something there. There's something there about playoff P or Paul George in the postseason that he's a different player. And that's, you know, that's the difference between an MVP candidate, a number two on a championship team, and a three or a four. Like to me, Paul George, if he's a number two to Kawhi Leonard in the regular season, in the postseason, he's not cutting it as a number two. He's not. He has to be more efficient. He has to trust himself. I think it's amazing. We talk about NBA players and how infallible they are and how strong they are, but I think this might be a crisis of just confidence from Paul George. All of the scrutiny that he's gotten over the past couple of years and the words that he has said to the referees and to the public, like, I do think there might be a little crisis of confidence here with Paul George, and it might be as simple as, you know, getting a couple good games here and then reestablish his confidence here, because right now it just seems like he's lost in the postseason. It really does.
It really does. Tom Haberstroh here on the show. Tom, I meant to ask you this earlier in the conversation. What was your ballot? What was your five-person ballot for the MVP vote that obviously got announced yesterday going to Mr. Jokic?
Yeah, so I had Giannis as number three, Steph at number two, I had Jokic at number one, Steph Curry at number two, Embiid at number three, and Giannis at number four. Number five, I had Kawhi Leonard. When you look at the NBA right now, Jokic is so good. And I think it's fascinating to me that, I mean, when was the last time we had not just number one on the ballot, but number two not be a really good team? Like, the Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors, like, they weren't world beaters, but they got a lot of votes from the MVP voters. And so I think when you look at Stephen Curry and not making the playoffs, but still being a top three, I believe, finish in the MVP race, I think it goes to show that I think the voting has changed. The criteria maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, has changed, that it's not just about record. It's about your production as an individual. And I think that's a really interesting change. And I think a lot of it has to do with analytics and just the focus on your numbers. But yeah, Jokic was number one on my ballot, and number two is Stephen Curry.
Well, I know that you can't speak to other voters, but what did you make of Chris Paul getting two first place votes? Because I was struck by, that seems like a pretty high number. And I put Chris Paul on my ballot at five, but two votes, two first place votes, seems a little stunning to me.
Is it more stunning than Derrick Rose getting a fan vote? Actually, I'm going to say, I didn't even know there was a fan vote.
I didn't either. Is that new?
That was a bigger stunner for me. I had no idea Derrick Rose getting that was a huge, huge stunner.
Ridiculous.
Chris Paul, I think he appeals to the voters in this sense. He is the biggest difference between what happened last year with the Phoenix Suns and this year with the Phoenix Suns. And they were, if not the surprise team in the NBA, they were right up there with the New York Knicks. And so I think Chris Paul, from a narrative standpoint, makes a lot of sense. He, of course, has done an amazing job at leading that team and producing at a high level, especially at his age. But for me, And I might be overcompensating for my Wake Forest bias here as an alumni and went to college with Chris Paul. But I do think that there was a little bit of a lifetime achievement award here where we were like, you know, Chris Paul deserves more recognition for how amazing he's been in his career. Maybe this is the time with Jokic being, you know, not your conventional MVP. Maybe this is the time that voters felt like we should give him his due. And I applaud that from a lifetime achievement a standpoint, is that I think he's one of our underrated players historically. But yeah, he wasn't number one on my ballot.
Tom Haberstroh here on the show. All right, we're learning things every day. I'm learning that the fans get to vote, and they, in all their eternal wisdom, voted for Derrick Rose. And I'm learning, I don't know how I didn't know this, you do a podcast based on Top Chef? What? Do you sleep? I mean, what is going on? Tell me about the Top Chef podcast.
Oh, man, this has been going for like 4 years now.
Kevin, I have no idea.
At ESPN, Kevin Arnovitz and I were really good friends, and we used to call each other every week to recap on the phone, like, what'd you think of Top Chef last week? And we would just like talk for like a half an hour, and then it occurred to me, like, that's a podcast. And we looked around, and we were like, does Top Chef have a podcast? This is like the number one cooking show on television. It's a reality sports for cooking, for food. Like, this is perfect. Let's do it. We found there was no other podcast that did a Top Chef show. And so Kevin and I started Pack Your Knives, which is the tagline from Padma Lakshmi on the show, Pack Your Knives podcast. And it's been amazing, the reception. We have like a real huge audience for Top Chef podcast. And what we realize is this is sports. Like, Top Chef, like, that show is a cooking competition show that has a lot of parallels to the sports, to the NBA. And so we cover Top Chef like it's the NBA on a weekly basis. So go check it out. Pack Your Knives, wherever you listen to podcasts. Top Chef is going to be on again tomorrow night.
I'm ashamed to say that I love to cook. I love to eat good food. My wife and I have traveled to other countries based on the restaurants, and I've never seen a single second of Top Chef. So I need to get on that.
You need to correct that, especially you forgot the whole sports thing. Your job is sports, and like, the Top Chef is a crossover of your passions here.
I didn't know it was a sport. I didn't know Derrick Rose should have been on my ballot, and I didn't know Top Chef was a sport. But I'm learning. Tom, congrats on your success. The Meadowlark thing is awesome, dude. You completely deserve it. And hopefully, I'll see you one of these days in whatever normal times look like. Maybe at the NBA Finals or beyond.
You got it, Bill. Thanks so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.